As most of my lessons, they usually are targeting at me. So I want to express that as I say some of the things I say, it's more of a reflection for me. And if it helps you, then that's fine too. But I'm going to start off with my wife, of course. My wife sends me some beautiful little memes and photos and little fun things that come across, and it's always fun to share. And one of them that she shared with me was the old thing, you know. Most of us in the audience here, we know what it is. It's called a stick shift in a car. Most younger folks, you know, the automatic, what's a stick shift? Well, this picture showed two things called coins. Yeah, that's also sort of antiquated anymore, isn't it? Two dimes sitting on a stick shift. And if you are well enough aware that would be a paradigm shift. And of course, when you see that a paradigm shift is, you know, you're going to change gears. Well, this phrase paradigm shift was keyed or thought up by Thomas Kahn, a scientist. And he used it as a word to meaning changing of one's perspective. According to Webster, an important change that happens when the usual way of thinking about something or doing something is replaced by a new or different way of doing or thinking. So there's a phrase we all pretty much all know, is the cup half empty or is it a cup half full? It has to do with your paradigm shift of which way you think. Are you going to be positive about the issue or are you going to be negative about the issue? It's still the same outcome as far as the same amount, same events. It's depending on how you look at it. I guess the lesson, if you're going to title it, would be making the most of out of what you have. And yes, as we get older and as we change and things change, our paradigm, the way we think, our perspective changes. I'm sure most of us who are of my age would be able to go back in time and be able to think of when we were 5 and 6, 7, school age. Things were very different in what you thought was important. Oh, I remember staying away from the bully was very important. Or pleasing my mom and dad, very important. Nowadays, it's pay the bills. That's more important. Well, then there's also other aspects of my life that should take precedence. And sometimes it's hard to see what those precedences or those important things are. And sometimes my mood changes because, unfortunately, I don't see the glass half full. I see it half empty. Paul was a good example. Paul, can you imagine? Think about it. If you understand Paul's life, imagine after he saw Christ on that road. What was his life like after that? Was it privileged? Was it anything that you and I would consider physically good? It was one trauma after another drama after another trauma. Yes, they do rhyme, don't they? But yet Paul, here in Philippians, he's sharing his joy. He's seeing the half full. Even when he's imprisoned, beaten, keep on going. I yet have been imprisoned, and I yet have been beaten. I yet have had almost anything, most of everything that Paul has ever experienced, I have yet to. And yet he still had joy. In Christ, we have true joy. And that's what Paul is trying to share with us. Trying to share with those around about us that if we truly have Christ and we truly have our perspective of having our eyes on Christ and having our eyes on salvation, our perspective and our paradigm shift might change. Not always is it that way. We, as humans, we have highs and lows. That's how God made us. We will have highs and lows. But it's how much of the high do we stay on and how much of the low we stay in. And why are we there? We cannot control what happens to us. We cannot. But we can control how we respond to that. making the most of out of what we have. It's always amazing to me when I see somebody who's very poor and they're actually happy. And I'll see somebody who's really rich and woe is me at times. Money does not always change things. I thank Evan very much again for reading that, because he's helped a little bit with the time for lesson, because I would have read what Evan had read. God can use and change bad into good. We may not be able to, but God can. And if you understand that God's controlling it all, and that we need to have faith in Him, that changes the way we think. God can use bad things and make things good. Paul wrote that in Philippians, as we just read. I'm going to refer to Philippians chapter 1 quite a bit throughout this lesson, if you would. Please make sure that you have a finger there if that's something you like to do. Paul was in prison, starting in verse 12 through 18. He's talking about his imprisonment. Most of us would consider the persecution and imprisonment to slow us down and spread the gospel, let alone slow us down, period. A lot of us would, but not Paul. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. It says, and I'll be reading from the New King James. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Persecuted, they were scattered. Paul and other Christians at the time, they went to other places to preach. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 21. Acts chapter 11, 19 through 21. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Even under persecution, they're still preaching the Lord. Acts chapter 16. This is a fair reading. Acts chapter 16, 20 through 34. And please pay attention. And I know most of us know this scripture fairly well. But look at the attitude. Look at what's... They couldn't necessarily control what's happening, but they control what they, how they respond. Acts chapter 16, verses 20 through 34. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And then they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. And we probably all know this, but the punishment for losing a prisoner is death. It's not something simple or mild. So he's making these folks, Paul is as secure as possible. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Oh, what? Think about that for a moment. Could they change their situation at that moment? And how are they behaving? How are they responding? Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Stop for a moment. Who is Paul looking out for? Himself? He's looking out for the guy who's supposed to keep him there. His enemy, if you would. Verse 29. Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And I want to stop right there. How is it that the jailer knew who in that whole prison did they need? He need to go and see what needed to be done? All the other prisoners, their chains are loosed. And yet, why do they come? Why does he come to Paul and Silas? He knows their attitude. He knows what they've been doing all night. Verse 30. And he brought them out and said, "Wait a minute. This is the prison guard taking the prisoner out. What's the penalty for taking someone out?" Death. He knows the punishment. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately and he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into this house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Paul did not let chains chain the gospel. Paul did not let his circumstances change his joy for Christ. 2 Timothy 2, verse 9. 2 Timothy 2, verse 9. "For which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained." Paul understood that even though physical chains are there, the spiritual chains are not. Paul chose his perspective. Paul chose what his attitude would be. We see in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at this right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If we can see that we have the love of our God, we have the love of our God. You have the love of your God. And you and I have God's love. What more do you need? God will love us. And he will look out after us. Our things in this life, Satan uses against us. Job, if you've not read Job, please do. Satan knows how to take our physical hurts, our mental hurts, our situations. And as we saw in class this morning, he is the father of lies and death. That's what he does. He lies to us. Your physical issues, your surroundings, there's no hope for you. Give up. The glass is half full. No. half empty. You want to make sure you're not listening to Satan. Satan wants us to think and do and hear what he wants us to. Paul is trying to help us and his readers and his followers to know Christ is our hope and our joy and our love. Also in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13, Paul said he was in content. He was content. What's that? Changing the syllable? Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned whatever state I am to be content. Making the most out of everything and anything you have. Physical things are not the only thing you have. If you have life, that's something you have. Do you have Christ? That's what you use. Galen once told me when I was a younger person, you use what you have most of. If you're young and you have more time, you use your time. When you're older and you have more money, you use your money. And hopefully, when you have more smarts, you use your smarts. In this case, what do you have more of? If you have more of God, use God. God is what we need to use. Paul was known for, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, as Evan read, the gospel was made known to the whole palace, the Praetorian Guard. He also refers to that in the Philippians chapter 4, verse 22. Philippians 4, 22. All the saints greet you, especially those who are of Caesar's household. Think about that for a moment. How did they hear about it? Paul was regarded at all times, so when Paul taught those who came to him, these guards heard what he said. In Acts chapter 28, verse 30. In Acts chapter 28, verse 30. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him. Also, Acts chapter 16, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. Ephesians 3, 13. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Ephesians 6, 19. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And also in Colossians 4, verse 3. Colossians 4, verse 3. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. How's our influence with others around about us? Are we spreading the word? Are we sharing our joy in knowing that God loves us? And that God does love them too. But they need to know how they need to please God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 22. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Again, how is it that Caesar, being so corrupt, that his household is hearing about this? Well, it's obvious. Paul. Paul's part of the influence. Earlier, Paul explains in 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16, and it says, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happening to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. I know it's stopping right in the middle of the reading, but how is that we're to be joyous in the middle of our tribulations? Well, if we're struggling for Christ and for his glory, we will have joy, especially in the end. But we should have joy now, knowing that we are being with and pleasing Christ and God. Verse 14, 1 Peter 4:14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of the glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody, or in any other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Again, Paul's courage encourages others. If you've ever considered why we have heroes in this country and throughout the world, throughout time, humans always want a hero. Because we want a good example. We teach our children, oh, look at this. This is the greatest. Oh, look at that. You want to follow that person. Well, in reality, we're supposed to be following Christ and following God. But here, Paul gives a wonderful example of a hero to follow. People followed Paul because of his courage. You don't see a hero on the screen, movies, or even day to day. Who?
Excuse me. Can I help you?
Is that a hero, or is it the let's get this finished, let's do it, let's go, let's have the courage, continue, push forward?
Really, I don't know. We might be having some problems there. Yeah.
Who's going to be the hero? Paul? Let's go. Or the ones who...
I'm not sure. It might be painful.
Yes, I know. A little drama. But the fact is, we don't follow people who are cowards. Paul did not show he was a coward. Their faith and boldness increased because of who? Paul. Because of other people who showed what it was to be a true Christian. I know, I've brought up Lauren many times in the past, but Lauren Madison is another man who I have used as my own personal somebody to be a hero. He will not tell you that he is. He is too humble. He also will not accept the praise that somebody might give to him, because again, he's too humble. And yet he is a giant to many others because of his courage, because of his benevolence and his doing for others and just spreading the word. That man is a good example. I hope someday that I can do close to what he does. We all need a good example, and Paul is one of them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. But even after we have suffered before and we spitefully treated in Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Paul was bold. He wasn't mealy-mouthed coward. In 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and through 18. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the gospel was being spread, and to Paul, that was the good news. That was good news. Making the most of what we have. What is your paradigm shift? Do you need a paradigm shift? The gospel being preached in verses 15 through 18 of what Evan read. People who are emboldened to speak God's word were of two kinds, as Paul's mentioned. Some preached Christ's word because of evilness, because of the envy and rivalry, Judaizings. And others were of goodwill, were of righteous minds. We see that in verse 15. Philippians chapter 3. Have you noticed a lot of these scriptures are Philippians? Philippians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Yes. Many of you know I enjoy firearms, and some people, that's what you're going to protect yourself with. Well, I believe that Edward had a beautiful reading in Proverbs. This morning's reading.
Psalm.
Nothing can be built if it doesn't have God. It can't stand. God is why we are able to stand. Without God, it will not stand. Nothing physical can we have that will take and save us. It will be God who saves us. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. I marvel that you are turned away so soon from him who called you in the grace of God, or Christ, to a different gospel, which is not another, but there were some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. There are some who are teaching the gospel for ill reasons. They're not doing it for righteous reasons. My wife and I know somebody who started, branched off from this, basically split our congregation, and they want to start their own church. Not Christ's church. They started their own church. And the two men that split it off, well, guess what? They're the leaders of that church. That's what they wanted. They wanted preeminence. Their pride and their wants, they wanted to be the head of that church. So, they taught, but they weren't doing it for the right reasons. And you easily can see it later. Some who preach are doctrinally sound, but were jealous of Paul and promoted themselves. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 5. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's one of the things about Lauren. He's always looking out for somebody else. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 10 through 13. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? We don't need to be divided. We need to work together. We need the joy of Christ. We need to have the right reason for spreading the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as the spiritual people, but also to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So some people are babes in Christ, and some are mature. We're all at different levels. But we all need to have the joy for which Christ gives us. The gospel, verses 15 through 18 of what Evan read, the gospel is preached. Even though some preached out of insincerity, others preached out of love. Understanding, supporting Paul's efforts, content to the message of preached, is of utmost importance. All who hear will benefit. If motivations are sincere, or insincere rather, the preacher is negatively affected, but not so much the hearers. But the hearers need to be careful. The benefits of his faithfulness. Verses 19 through 26. Christ magnified in life or death. Although Paul was expected to be delivered from prison, there was a good reason to think Paul was more in mind that he speaks here of his deliverance. His earnest expectation hope was his resurrection and being with Christ. There's that undertow, you understand, as Paul's writing. He's looking forward to death to go home with Christ. At least that's what it seems to me. And yet he's still struggling that he wants to live, not because he wants to live physically. He's wanting to live to be of an encouragement to help those around about him. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. Philippians 3, 10 through 14. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. His primary goal is to glorify Christ. Life or death. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation of hope that is nothing, I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether in life or by death. Philippians chapter 1. Folks, this whole book is basically telling about how Paul is trying to encourage. His joy is not in this life. His joy is in Christ. Therefore, Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. He's encouraging all of us to stand fast for the Lord. Make the most of what we have. Paul's whole purpose in life, regardless of his circumstance, was to serve Christ. And if you're serving Christ, you should be able to understand that you have his joy. There are so many scriptures that help us to understand this. For the sake of time, please jot down Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. Philippians chapter 3, 7 and 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have with you, that those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, for both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Our goal should not be the treasures in this earth, It's the treasures of knowledge of wisdom with God and knowing this life is just a testing ground. Our treasure is laid up in heaven. Colossians, please note this also. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Please also write down Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. I'm going to let you have that one and read that also on your own. Living in this world meant more labor and more fruit. That's what Paul was saying. The only reason for living was to have more fruit. You see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 15. And that's a fair reading I'm going to let you read on your own. Paul had a choice between magnifying Jesus' life in life or death. Which would he choose? Would he choose to stay alive to help those around about him? Or would he choose death to go home with Christ? It was chosen for him, though. But the simple fact is Paul wrote down that he had a hard time choosing. Because he wanted to serve Christ in either way, he would choose to serve Christ. Making the most of what we have. Paul's selfless attitude was revealed here by his placing his friends' needs above himself. We saw that in the latter, in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. Brethren, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? Is your joy found on this earth's treasure or is your joy found in heaven with Christ? If it's found here on this earth, you sadly will be very disappointed. You won't gain all the money in the world. You won't gain an extended life of eternity here on this life, in this earth. Will your health always be perfect? Huh. Just look around you. So many people I sometimes used to think, oh, that person looks good. Their life is great. And then I got to know them and they physically look pretty, beautiful, but man, their life is a mess. And what I didn't see was the internal pain they had from whatever it was they were dealing with. Brethren, this life is just temporary, and it's not fun. But we need to have the joy knowing that Christ is our joy. God can make bad things good. Can you make your sadness joy? The only way you can do that is to follow Christ. My last, and I will leave it with you with one more reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 7 through 15. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh, so that death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. How are we using ourselves, our time, our everything? Are we making the best of what we have? Are we using, are we thinking about a pair of dimes on a shift? Are we shifting a paradigm shift? Living for ourselves or living for Christ? We can turn, God can turn negatives into positives with a paradigm shift. So can we. It's how we see things that help us. That's the lesson, and it was for me. And so thank you for bearing with me to know that I struggle, and I'm suspecting a few of us also struggle. And it's not just physical pain. So if you're having struggles physically or mentally or spiritually, if you need some support in some way, prayer does help. It's as you get further and further away from Christ, it becomes harder and harder to do what is right.